This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The president is back from a big trade trip. As you know, the House and Senate are grinding away on taxes. We are here to review and discuss. Catherine Rampell is at the Washington Post. Lynette Lopez is at Business Insider. They are both in our studios. Where are you guys? In New York, right? In New York. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
All right. So I'm going to play you both a piece of tape. It's Kevin Hassett, the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors at the White House, did a little back and forth with reporters today. I'm going to play a piece of tape. I want to discuss. Here he is. Here goes.
So trickle-down economics is something that, you know, I guess people who criticize the idea that taxes affect the economy will use to characterize approaches like the one that we're pursuing.
So, Catherine, trickle-down economics, of course, the idea that you cut taxes on the wealthy and on businesses, that trickles down through the economy. It is basically what this tax plan is built on, the GOP tax plan. Does it sound to you like Kevin Hassett is banking on voters not understanding how trickle-down economics are supposed to work?
I think that voters are pretty jaded about the entire concept of trickle-down economics, which, you know, for decades has alternatively been known as voodoo economics,
yes,
coined by a Republican.
Almost sounded like he didn't really believe it either.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think his argument was essentially this is bad branding, whereas if you look at the economic consequences of previous major tax cuts, it's not just about branding, it's about what are the actual consequences. You know, did this trickle down? Mm-hmm. Did giving money away to the wealthy, to the quote-unquote job creators, to corporations, did it actually translate into higher wages for the middle class? And the evidence we have so far is that no. I mean, maybe some of it helps, but by and large, the benefits go to the wealthy.
Well, so Lynette, the other thing Kevin Hassett was asked, and I should have grabbed this tape and I didn't, he was asked by Major Garrett from CBS, I think is where Major is right now. He was asked whether we could go back in five years, if Trump's still in the White House and we go back and look at this, will you stand by this prediction that this is all going to have trickle down? And Hassett did not answer that question. So how are we going to know, when are we going to know what the effects of this thing might be and how will it be measured?
Well, that's why trickle-down economics have been so elusive. You know, people who support it point to the fact that we can't prove that it doesn't mm-hmm. work. But what we do know is kind of what we've been hearing over the past week or so. The Senate plan raises taxes on everybody making $75,000 and below by 2027. That's what taxpayers understand. That's what voters hear. They hear that corporations get tax cuts forever and we get a temporary tax relief.
Right. Catherine, let me ask you this. Is there a sense, because, I mean, you've been writing about this a lot, do you have a sense of what the final product might look more like? The Senate bill, which includes just, for instance, the repeal of a new mandate and some of the stuff Lynette was talking about, or the House bill? Because they're going to have to come to some agreement.
The problem with the Senate bill is exactly what Lynette pointed out, which is that the individual side provisions by and large expire. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they had to do to get the math to work out. They made the corporate provisions for the most part permanent, the individual provisions temporary. So one essentially funds the other. And the politics of that are awful. Right. I mean, the message to voters mm-hmm. is lower and middle income households are having to subsidize or basically pay for the tax cuts for everyone else. So in that sense, it's hard to imagine a final product of whatever this process produces looking like the Senate bill. But, you know, basically, we don't know what's going to happen once this thing gets to conference, if it gets to conference, meaning that, you know, the Senate will pass something. It'll pass whatever it has to do because of those marginal votes that it needs to get, since they have to get 51 votes, and there are already at least two that are questionable at this point. They're going to have to do what they have to do, but then, you know, all bets are off, basically,
exactly,
once they hash it out together.
Lynette, let me back you up to the whole trickle-down economics thing. We had a guy on the program yesterday, Ed Fryer. He's an economist who's also a chicken farmer, and he said, you know, I run a pass-through business, and my rate is going to go from 39.5% to 25% under this bill, and he employs 1,700 people, and he said, that's going to let me grow. There's a difference in this economy between those kinds of businesses, which will get the pass-through, and the really big ones, which also conceivably could also get the pass-through, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, what everybody's really worried about, too, when it comes to pass-throughs, and one senator has already said that he's not going to vote for the bill because of this inconsistency with pass-throughs, is that, you know, you're not really fairly judging businesses by what what they actually contribute or what they do. You know, pass-through rule makes it almost sound like these are small businesses, but some of them are quite large.
Like the Trump Organization.
And make a lot of money. Right. So not all pass-throughs are created equal, even though when people talk about it, they talk about it as kind of a small business regulation type thing.
Lynette Lopez is at Business Insider. Catherine Rempel at the Washington Post. There is so much more to talk about on this thing, you two. Maybe next week. We'll see. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Guy.